around identity, around national visions of progress and community, that has likely forever altered the country's own self-image, as well as the image of the United States seen by the rest of the world. The Sunday after the election, New York Times journalist Michael Sokolov, reporting on Levittown, Pennsylvania voters' overwhelming support for Obama, wrote that the nation was transformed on Tuesday, but what had to occur first was the transformation of individual voters. Over a period of months, millions of those voters had confronted their own prejudices, their own sets of expectations as to what a real American was. And come election day, they decided they could, after all, vote for a black man who had built a political career out of listening to ordinary people tell the stories of their lives. The excitement of crowds not just in America, but around the world that night, was, at least in part, an excitement born of the realization that what it meant to be an American had forever changed. Such moments occur rarely in a nation's history, and when they do, the people behind them inevitably become the focus of our intense attention. While we might not want to literally explore the contours of Barack Obama's brain, we do very much, as a culture, want to understand how that brain works, what passions animate the 44th president, what ideas and which individuals inhabit the mental recesses of this enigmatic figure. That's why Obama's every move is so obsessively scrutinized. What sort of dog will he buy for his daughters? What kind of mental anguish did he go through before deciding to release the torture memos from the Bush era? At the press conference commemorating his first 100 days in office, an enterprising New York Times reporter even asked the president what experiences he had found most enchanting during his 3+ months as occupant of the White House. In a very real way, we want answered the question, what makes Obama tick? That core question is what Inside Obama's Brain sets out to answer. To do so, one has to ask a host of smaller questions. How does he approach problems? What ideas and intellectual theories make up his political credo? How does he communicate with friends and foes? How do his many skills play out in his chosen fields, the worlds of writing, organizing, law, and politics? And why is it that so many people, not just in the United States, but around the world, are so seduced, and so willing to be seduced, by his words and his presence? The responses, provided by relatives, friends, and colleagues from the many layers of Obama's extraordinary life, and by his own words, put forth in his books and essays, in media interviews spanning more than a decade, and in numerous campaign speeches and political meetings, reveal the complexity of a man who has become something of a mythical figure in his own lifetime. In his place in the country's history, President Obama is, in many ways, a successor figure to Martin Luther King Jr. and his vision of a beloved community moving America away from its divided, segregated past. He is the lead member of what New Yorker editor David Remnick and others have termed the Joshua Generation, the generation of highly educated, professionally employed African Americans, provided not only with a sense of possibility by those who came before, the so-called Moses Generation, who broke down the legal structures of segregation, but also with a powerful sense of mission and obligation. To supporters and critics alike, Obama is seen as a once-in-a-lifetime charismatic leader. To his more extreme critics from the conservative fringe, diehards convinced that he is a Manchurian candidate with a covert plan to undermine the American way of life, in seeking to claim the driver's seat within the Joshua Generation, Obama has shown himself to be a man of messianic pretensions, with a naive following, almost religious in its fervor. To at least some of his supporters, he exhibits the rare power to shift the tectonic plates of history through the sheer force of his will. Without apparent irony, Oprah Winfrey introduced him to huge crowds as the One. In an open letter to the victorious candidate written immediately after the election, the author Alice Walker wrote that he was a balm for the weary warriors of hope, previously only sung about. His position as one of American history's most charismatic figures presents a great paradox, since